From the beginning of Christianity, Christians have always struggled with the problem of living in a world that's filled with sin, and yet at the same time trying not to be a part of that world. Paul talks about that struggle in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, starting with verse 14. It says, "For we know that the law," talking about the old law, when he lived under that, "is spiritual, but I'm of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin, which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the willingness is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing that I do not want, then I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells within me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, my flesh, the law of sin." Now, when he says, and some people have read this passage and take it to the extreme and say when he says there's nothing good within him, that's not what he's trying to get across. He's talking about the struggle that's dealing with trying to live righteously, knowing what was right, agreeing that this is right, and then finding himself sinning. It's going against what he mentally wants, but he ends up physically doing. Now, some people take Paul's word and says, well, so long as I intend to please God, then it doesn't really matter what I do. But Paul gives his answer to that. Actually, earlier, going back to chapter 5, Romans 5, verse 20, it says, "The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through the righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it?" And there's the point. We have died to sin. We cannot live in it. And yet we find ourselves constantly struggling against it. Now, part of the reason is because of our background. Because each of us have been born into a world of sin. And before becoming Christians, we were of the world. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 1, it says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in sons of disobedience, among whom we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature's children of wrath, even as the rest." The idea of worldliness is being basically defined as being disposed to things pertaining to this temporary world. In other words, things that are not regarding the spiritual and religious realm, but the secular realm. And Paul says, you walked according to the course of this world. Course, which actually if you look up in the Greek, it literally is the word age there. And what is being used as is the mass of thoughts, opinions, maxims, speculations, hopes, impulses, aims, aspirations at any current time in the world. It may not be possible to accurately define, but it is that which circulates through the world and characterizes it. The world itself is the ungodly mass of men who are alienated from God. We're not talking about the righteous, the religious. These are therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. It's the aggregate of all things earthly, which although hollow and frail and fleeting, stir the desire and seduce us away from God. And if it's, whilst the definitions sound complex, at the same time, they're not that difficult. The course of this world is all those shows that people watch to entertain themselves that don't have any moral standards. The course of this world is our schools which teach without any ethics being enforced. This is our movements which reach for causes without regard for right or wrong. Just this afternoon, school where I teach at, I have to take diversity training. I started going through it. And it is disgusting how they're trying to, and they're claiming a moral ground while promoting immorality. And while they're saying they're being neutral, they're picking fun at people who are standing up for what's religiously correct. That is the course of this world. See, as people are not understanding that there's something greater. And so we drift along with the masses, whichever way the wind blows. But Paul goes on to say that we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. It's another way of just saying we followed the path of Satan. Satan is the ruler of this world. Take a look at John chapter 2, or 12. John chapter 12 and verse 31. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And he's referring to Satan. He's also called the god of this age. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now I want you to take also note that the course of this world or the case in this particular one translation, that's the same word age. That's in Ephesians 2, verse 2. Same word appears in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. He is the god of this age. He's the god of this course or this world. In 1 John chapter 5, and verse 19. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And in Revelation 12, and verse 9, since the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. He has been thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. Satan is the power behind all the corruption that we see in the world. He's the influence. He doesn't make people do it. He encourages it. He tempts people with it. He leads people along and deceives them into thinking this is a better way to go. And one, too, we also followed the rest of the world, following after Satan, leading where he goes. And Satan is the spirit that is now working in sons of disobedience. So Satan has always defied God. In John chapter 8, John chapter 8 and verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Father of lies is the one who started with a lie, starting out in the Garden of Eden. Satan has defied God, turning people away from God, trying to rebel. And those who practice sin then are of the devil. They follow after their father. In 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 and verse 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And we once lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind. In 1 John also, this time chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." Here's how Satan operates. This is how he tempts. He does it through this world's desires. The lust of the flesh is what feels good. The lust of the eyes is what looks good. And the pride of life, what makes me look good. All of these are Satan's devices, his schemes. And Satan uses those schemes to tempt us into sin, to trap us in sin. James talks about the how that happens in James chapter 1 and verse 13. James chapter 1 and starting with verse 13. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." It starts out with our basic desires. The desires that we have built into us that we need in order to survive in this world. But Satan uses those to tempt us, to lead us away from what is right and think that we can accomplish our desires by sinning. And we have to understand, we all have fallen prey to that. In 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same purpose, because he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. And they give, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." Again, we've lived according to the lusts that are present in this world. Lusts such as sensuality, drinkings of all sorts, idolatries. Each of us have been trapped. But we left it for Christ. And so we have to realize that, yes, we too were once fools ourselves. In Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. It's not that we should look down our noses on those trapped in sin. We have to realize we came from there. But we also have to realize that it influences us. The lure is still there. And we have to be on guard for it. We cannot be conformed to the standards that are present in this world. In Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, starting with verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We have to change. We have to be different. We may have followed it once in ignorance, but no more. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 14, 1 Peter 1 and verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behaviors. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That means also that we can't walk the same paths we used to walk. Probably one of the more difficult things new Christians have is realizing they have to change habits. They have to change how they deal with other people because those paths are dangerous. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance to the lusts of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We got to change. We have to behave in a different form, going down a different path, one that leads to holiness. Once we were in a miserable past, once we were in a bad state, as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. We were once like them, but no more. We can't hang on to that past. Too many in the denominational world want to just compromise. They want people to say, well, you can become a Christian while not letting go of your past. That's not how this works. We have to cleanse ourselves of all the defilements of the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We cannot let sin reign within us. In Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Or as he points out later in Romans 13, we can't make any provision, we can't make any allowances for any of the lusts of this world. Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 12. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regards to his lust. See, in doing that, then, we take up a different standard. Instead of following what everybody else does, we follow the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Remember Paul's thing saying, the things that I want to do versus the things I actually do? We put our mind on the Spirit, not to do what I want, but what God wants. It means thinking the way God thinks. Take a look at back at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, starting with verse 24. For I will take you from the lands. For I'll take you from the nations, gathering you from all the lands and bring you into your own lands. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land and I will give your, that I gave to your forefathers, so that you will be my people and I will be your God. God said to Israelites, I'm going to change who you are. Not against their will, but by them wanting to follow God, desiring God. And it means thinking the way God thinks. If we focus on the world, then we will not follow the laws of God. Going back to Romans, this time to chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we have to take on the mind of Christ. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, and I got I have time to do a fairly long reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. But I determined this for my own sake, that I would not come to you in sorrow again. Oops, I got 2 Corinthians. I want 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, that not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one else knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritually appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but to men of the flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, and not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? I want you to take notice what he's saying. We take on the mind of Christ, and he says what it's not. It's not the wisdom of men in verse 5 of chapter 2. It's not the wisdom of this age in verse 6. It's not the spirit of this world in verse 12. Is not the things taught by human wisdom in verse 13. What is the spirit that we've taken, the mind of Christ? It's relying on the power of God. Again in chapter 2, verse 5. It's God's wisdom in verse 7. It's the Spirit of God in verse 12. It's the things taught by the Spirit in verse 13. The natural or worldly man deems spiritual things as foolish. And hence, he cannot make spiritual judgments. In other words, when I'm dealing with the people in the world, I can't expect them to uphold moral standards. Not accurately. Because they do not have the mind of Christ. Because we learn the mind of Christ through the words revealed by the Spirit, we can make spiritual judgments. If you look at the letter to the Corinthians, they made errors in judgment. And Paul said the reason for it was their basis of the problem is they still were thinking like fleshly men. They're using the reasoning of this world. They're approaching it as a problem as other people would approach it. Instead of seeing themselves as Christians, thinking as God would have them think. Let's go back again to 1 Peter for a moment. We read this earlier, but 1 Peter chapter 4, think about it again. Just the first two verses. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So we have to walk according to what God wants us to walk. We have to be changed. When Nicodemus came to Christ to ask him about his teachings, in John chapter 3, starting with verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." We have to be reborn. We were born physically into this world, but we have to be transformed, reborn into the world of the Spirit. We have to take on a new life because the old life has been killed. In Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 3, "Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized in Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin may be done away with, so that we may no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin." And that opportunity starts today. That opportunity is to walk according to the Spirit is available right now. If there's anyone here who is not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God, this is a time to renew ourselves, to do things according to the will of God and not towards the lust of the world. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of Selected.